Hi. Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, downtown the 12th Hour in Elvin, Texas. Today is June the 15th, 2024, or it is the 9th day of the 4th month of 2028. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song, and then we'll go into our sermon. It's entitled Mount Zion at the 11th Hour. And we're on track 8 of our Viti Hadas. We're doing the part on part 5. It says that the Lamb, through the ruler of the Lamb, we're going to back up and do a review and make that the title of our number 5 sermon. Follow the Lamb to the ruler of the Lamb. Okay, that's the name of our title. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of review here on page 93 of Tract 8, Mount Zion, 11th Hour. It says, For I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Revelation 22:16. Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are you still? Question mark. Judges 18:9. Be not slothful. Act promptly. Get ready. And follow the Lamb unto the ruler of the Lamb. Send ye the Lamb unto the ruler of the Lamb. Now at the time that this Lamb, which is Yahshua, in these last days, goes to sit upon the throne of David, he goes to the ruler of the land, whoever the ruler of the land is at that time, from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion, where it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of the Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon, take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadows as the night, in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee. Moab, be thou as a covert unto them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. For the spoiler ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of the David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:1-5. Though this passage may seem to contain only the cabalistic language of the cadence mysticism, yet, let's do that again, for this passage may seem to contain nothing more than the cabalistic language of the cadence mysticism, yet it holds lessons calculated to convert even the case-hardened infidel to the certain truth of the Bible. Indeed, if the Yahweh's people could get along without this scripture, we may be sure that he would not have taken either the prophet's time to write it or space in the Bible to record it. Were it, in short, merely a mystical rhapsody of the prophetic tenor without rhyme or reason, then it was not but a piece of vain repetition, an imperfection, an impossible thing with the Yahweh. So, to attach no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following scripture: if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, Revelation 22:19. As Yahweh's words therefore must contain light, the absence of the which, leaving dark our path, exposes us unto the risk of the falling with the blind headlong into the pit. The diligent searcher for the truth will discover that though the passage appears obscure and involved in the mystery, it is plain and simple when seen in the light which shines from above. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah, and unto the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion, which would be the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, that is mentioned there in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, where it says, many people shall say in the last days, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, to the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, we shall walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth to the Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Yahrush. For the definite article B lends absolute meaning unto the noun, a lamb, showing that a lamb, as the only one of this kind, is the object of the command to send the lamb from Moab unto the mount of the daughter of Zion, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. That is, the lamb has to be taken from Moab because the Moabites were to be cast out as a wandering bird at the fords of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2. For the sacred history records that the one lamb taken from the Moab before the Moabites were cast out of the nest, and the one of whom John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of the Yahweh, which is the Yahshua. For the prophecy shows that the lamb was rushed from Moab unto Mount Sinai, David's palace at Jerusalem. But this at Mount Zion would be David's palace at Jerusalem, an event which took place when Naomi, with her sons went to Moab, the wilderness, a nation not with the direct care of the Yahweh, and therefore not as a vendor either. And brought Ruth, the Moabitess from Moab unto Jerusalem. For the Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And she bare a son, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, father of David. And Jesse begat David. Ruth 4, 13 to 22. Thus Yahshua, as the son of David, was sent from the Moab unto the Mount Sinai, David's palace, thus showing Yahshua's divinity as the son of Yahweh, and his humanity as a son not only of the David but also of the Lot, Moab. Oh, how wonderfully particular is all Yahweh, for the names Obed, Jesse, and David, in the Hebrew term, means Yahshua, as his servant, Obed, who is to be my present successor, the beloved David. So Yahshua being in the flesh as a Moabite as well as an Israelite, Yahweh says, let mine access dwell with thee, Moab, Yahshua. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoil, and a man, again pointing unto Yahshua, shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 16:4, 32:2. Sent to take counsel, execute judgment, make a shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Isaiah 16:3, Yahshua, our hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and a weary land. It is a great and perfect shadow, even as a midnight at the noonday. So also exclaims the psalmist, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O Yahweh. Therefore, the children of the men put their trust under the wing of the shadow of thy wing, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 36:7, 63:7. And therefore, strange that The gospel prophet also, shall the strong people glorify thee, for the city of the terrible nation shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength unto the poor, a strength unto the needy, and his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Isaiah 25:3-4. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it. This is the throne of David, and the truth in the tabernacle of the David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Isaiah 16:5. Since according unto this scripture, the establishment of the Yahshua throne is yet future, and since furthermore it is to be set up in the tabernacle of David, the which did not take place at his first coming. But Yahshua, therefore, when he come to reign in these last days in the second time, in the 12th parabolic hour, last probationary time, in his forthcoming kingdom, will sit on the throne of David. And as he is then to judge, seek judgment, and hasten righteousness, the entire action occurs just before the close of the probation in the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in now. The time that we can hasten righteousness only, so happily, this prophecy of the Yahshua's genealogy and of his taking the reins in his own hands was given for the admonition and learning of those who shall be living at the end of the time, when all these things shall come to pass. Supremely important, therefore, is the need to remember its all-important lesson, and with the faithful accomplished. This is where we finished our number four last time, and now we're back there. A new reading, page 98, last paragraph, track 8, assigned to the 11th hour. Okay, seeing that Lot, as well as Abraham, appears in the genealogical record of Yahshua, the question naturally asserts itself. Why should these two men be so greatly honored? And the answer awaits us. Abraham obtained this great honor because he was faithful unto the word of Yahweh and never questioned it. Though all things seemed destined to fulfill themselves contrary unto his interest and to Yahweh's promises, though Yahweh promised to give the land to him and to his posterity for a perpetual possession, Abraham personally never obtained the promise, besides enduring these faith trying tests. He waited 25 years for the promised son, only to be commanded when this only child was become a young man to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. Still, through every trial, he never lost his faith in the Yahweh, but implicitly trusted in him and unreservedly obeyed his command. For this reason, Yahweh signally honored him. Yet the great lesson here to be learned is not so much from the Abraham's experience as from the Lot's. For though Lot was not quite so generous as was Abraham, and not quite so willing to live apart from the world, still his faith in the promises of Yahweh to Abraham was as great as was the faith of Abraham himself, yea, in some respects even greater, for the Yahweh spoke unto Abraham in the person, whereas he spoke to Lot through Abraham. For the Lot therefore had to have implicit confidence that Yahweh has spoken to him through Abraham. As in the days of Abraham were over, there was no Bible by which to prove that his going from his father's house was in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that Yahweh was leading him to depart from the Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, let's do that again. And that Yahweh was leading him to depart from Ur of the Chaldees, to go unto a land the whereabouts of which he himself knew not. Hebrews 11:8-9. We see that Lot was not like most men today, who question and criticize everything and the unfolding of the truth. Without the slightest question or doubting, he put his trust in the Abraham Yahweh and confidently followed in the quest for the promised land. What a contrast between the character of the Lot and that of the Jews, who rejected the prophets and even put them to death. For this reason, Yahweh honored Lot with the greatest gift heaven could bestow upon a human being. Sharing the earthly patronage of the Yahweh of the glory, the eternal king. Although furthermore, Lot's descendants, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were no better than the other heathen, yet for the Lot's sake, Yahweh did not deal with them as he did with the rest of the heathen, but commanded Moses to distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in the battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. Deuteronomy 2:9-19. And if any man serve me, said to Yeshua, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Also he shall call upon me, says the psalmist, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 91:15. Aside from the happy deed of the showing hospitality unto the angels he visited Solomon, Genesis 19:1, the noblest act in the spotty record of the Lot's life is that he joined Abraham in his newly found and strange religion, and that in order to do so, he departed from both his father's house and his homeland, knowing not whether he was going. Besides receiving consequently the everlasting blessing of being one of the earthly progenitors of Yahshua, a blessing which he shall realize through Yahshua at the glad resurrection day, and rejoice in throughout eternity, he did not go wanting for the temporal blessings, and while surrounded with the earthly danger, heaven's sent angels even delivered him from the doomed city of the Sodom before it was reduced to ashes, Genesis 19:16-25. Had he waited, though, for greater evidence as to whether or not Yahweh was leading him in this most momentous event of his life, had he said in his heart, I take no chance, but shall wait until this venture proves successful, I shall first investigate and know for a surety that the land is fertile and the climate agreeable to my family, stock, and etc., he never would have had a part in the movement itself or in the paternal lineage of the Yahweh of the glory or in his eternal kingdom. Oh, brother, sister, have you the faith of the Lot? All these things happen unto them for an ensample and are written for our admonition upon whom the end of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Oh, let us then follow in the footsteps of these great men of the Yahweh, trusting his immutable word and acting upon it without the slightest expectation, follow not in the way of those who doubted, questioned, and criticized, and who, in the fatal consequences, never arrived at the knowledge of the truth. Of such who lived at the time of the early Advent movement, church history says, multitudes, trusting implicitly to their pastors, refused to listen to their warning and others. And others, though convinced of the truth, dared not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For the great obstacle, both for the acceptance and for the promulgation of the truth, is the fact that it involves inconvenience and reproach. This is the only argument against the truth which the advocates have never been able to refute. If this does not deter the true followers of the Yeshua, these do not wait for the truth to become popular. Being convinced of their duty, they deliberately accept the cross with the Apostle Paul telling that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory, with one of the old esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in the Egypt. Great Controversy 380, 460. Both the Moabites and the Ammonites then, as the descendants of the Lot, and Lot being one with the Abraham, also the Edomites being the descendants of the Esau, Jacob's twin brother, to all of whom Yahweh declared, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, Genesis 15, 13 to 16. They should therefore have known that the time had come for the fulfillment of that long expected event, and should accordingly have been ready for it. Or had they lost sight of truth, then they should have recalled it when they saw the movement that was now at their very borders. Had they believed that in the Abraham Yahweh, as a lot believed, they would not have refused to let the children of Israel, their blood relatives, pass through their country to the promised land, but rather would have joined with them, as Lot joined with Abraham to help them possess it. Indeed, the Moabites went so far in their hostility toward their relatives that they even hired Balaam to curse them, in spite of the fact that Yahweh ended up putting the Israelites in mind of his promises to Lot, commanded them that they harm not their brethren, Judges 11, 16-18. This, in the declaring or declining to welcome them and to grant them safe conduct to the land, the Moabites not only refused to acknowledge Yahweh's wondrous providence, but also rejected him in the person of his people, whom they well knew he had led with the signs and wonders out of the land of Egypt. May this tragic lesson penetrate into the innermost hearts of all today and cause them to acknowledge Yahweh's mighty power and the fulfilling prophecy. Shall not the Christians avoid the mistakes and blunders of the past, and without the hesitating join Yahweh's people on the onward march toward the antitypical promised land? Or will any in this enlightened age stubbornly disregard the word of Yahweh and oppose his people as did the Moabites and the Ammonites, who consequently lost both their kingdom and eternal life? Or what a catastrophe, after having thus been enlightened by the word of the truth, to hear spoken against oneself this same dreadful sentence which excluded the Moabites and the Ammonites from the congregation of the Yahshua. For an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Yahshua, even unto their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yahshua forever, because they met you not with the bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of the Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Deuteronomy 23:3-4. For the Moabites hiring of the Balaam calls attention to the fact that in the Antitype, those who should be welcoming and blessing Yahweh's people will instead, with the promises of money and fame, be hiring false-hearted servants to curse them. But we are comforted by the truth in the type that which Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. I am astonished, says the Yahshua's servant, that with the example before us of what man may be and what he may do, we are not stimulated to greater exertion to emulate the good works of the righteous. All may not occupy a position of the promise, yet all may fill positions of the usefulness and trust, and may, by their persevering fidelity, do far more good than they have any idea that they can do. Those who embrace the truth should seek a pure understanding of the Scripture and an experimental knowledge of the living Savior. For the intellect should be cultivated, the memory taxed, and intellectual laziness is sin, and spiritual lethargy is death. Testimony, Volume 4, page 399. For we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence unto the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through the faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:11-12. Those who wait for the minister to accept the message before they themselves act upon their conviction will never come to the knowledge of the truth, says the Spirit of Prophecy. As the light and life of man was rejected by the ecclesiastical authorities in the days of Yahshua, so it has been rejected in every succeeding generation. Again and again, the history of Yahshua's withdrawal from the judges has been repeated. When the reformers preached the word of Yahweh, they had no thought of the separating themselves from the established church, but the religious leaders would not tolerate the light, and those that bore it were forced to seek another class who were longing for the truth. In our day, few of the professional followers of the reformers are actuated by their spirit. Few are listening for the voice of Yahweh and ready to accept the truth and whatever guise it may be presented. Often those who follow in the steps of the reformers are forced to turn away from the church they love in order to declare the plain teachings of the word of Yahweh. And many times those who are seeking for the light are by the same teaching obliged to leave the church of their fathers, that they may render obedience the desire of ages 232, paragraph 2. In those days and in that time, saith the Yahshua, the children of the Israel shall come, they and the children of the Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Yahshua their father. They shall ask the way unto Zion, as to the singing the palace ground where David's palace is at, with their faces filled with sin. Come and let us join ourselves unto the Yeshua and the perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. For my people have been a lost sheep, for their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we have sinned not, because they have sinned against the Yeshua, the habitation of justice, even the Yeshua, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goat before the flocks. Jeremiah 50, verse 48. For the time has come for the thorough reformation to take place in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or after the Seventh-day Adventist Church is finished, bringing forth the 144,000, that's when the revival reformation will come. When this reformation begins, in the 12th parabolic hour, at the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8, at the beginning of the judgment of the living, by the 11th hour servants that are called at the 2002 to work as the fifth group of laborers in fulfilling Matthew 20, verse 6, the spirit of the prayer will actuate every believer and will banish from the church the spirit of the discord and strife. For those who have not been living in the Christian fellowship will draw close to one another. One member working in the right lines will lead other members to unite with him in the making intercession for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There will be no confusion, because all will be in the harmony with the mind of the Spirit. For the barriers separating believers from believers will be broken down, and Yahweh's servants will speak the same thing. Yahshua will cooperate with his servants. All will pray understandingly the prayer that Yahshua taught the servant. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in the heaven. Matthew 6:10. Testimony, Volume 5, page 51. For the Yahshua said unto my, for Yahweh said, the Father said unto my Yahshua, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. For Yahshua shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thine people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of the holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. For Yahshua has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of the Melchizedek. For Yahshua at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook and the waves. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalms 110:1-7. Remember Lot's wife, to stick for thy life. Thus towers forth the structure of the truth, sending forth the message that the kingdom of the David is to be restored by the antitypical prophet Elijah, which is antitypical David himself, in the spirit and power of Elijah. just before the close of the probation and the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, but that the earth being unfit for the saints to dwell on it eternally, Yahshua shall therefore come again and receive all the redeemed, both those who are raised from their grave and those who shall be found alive at his coming. Thessalonians 4:16-17, and shall take them unto the mansions above, which he has gone to prepare, John 14:3. And as the saints of sin and the wicked die, the earth will be left empty and dark, Jeremiah 4:23-29, for 1,000 years, Revelation 20:3. After which Yahshua shall descend with the saints, Revelation 20:1-3, purify the earth with fire, 2 Peter 3:10-13, and fit it anew for the saints' eternal abode, Isaiah 45:18. Now, therefore, let your faith in the word renew your love in the truth and in the promise of the future glory. Oh, sing unto Yahshua a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. For Yahshua hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Yahweh, or of our Yahshua the Son. Let's do that again. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Savior, Yahshua, our Redeemer, by his blood. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahshua all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Yahshua with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with the trumpets and sound of the cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Yahshua the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Yahshua, for he cometh to judge the earth with the righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. Psalms 98:1-9. Oh, what scenes of the future glory! Who would miss them? Brother, sister, you must be there. Whatever you lose here, be determined to make sure of a home there. It will be an eternity of bliss, a blessed eternity, unfolding new glories throughout the ceaseless ages. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 131. Behold, the crystal river and green fields, the waving trees and the living fountain, the shining city and the white robed singers of our heavenly home. For the world of the beauty which no artist and picture, no mortal tongue to describe, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. To dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in the soul, body, and spirit not the dark traces of sin and the curse, but the perfect likeness of our Creator, and through the ceaseless ages to advance in the wisdom and the knowledge and in the holiness, ever exploring new fields of the thought ever finding new wonders and new glories, ever increasing in the capacity to know and to enjoy and to love, and knowing that there is still beyond us joy and love and wisdom infinite. Such is the object and the which the Christian's hope is pointed. Counsels to Teachers, page 55. Okay, it says, that's the end of track number 8, and our study for the Mount Zion at the 11th hour. This number 5th study track. Study will be, Behold, I Make All Things New. And we still have about 15 minutes left on this hour. Behold, I Make All Things New track. It's number track number 9 of Bhakti Hara. We're on page 40. So it says, setting up of his kingdom. So it says, what manner of person ought you to be then? For the scriptures exhort that those in the truth be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Yahweh, wherein the heaven, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according unto his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such thing, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:11-14. And the more so now, while he is setting up his kingdom, and that day when the Yahshua is about to make empty the earth, that's in Isaiah 24, he shall set his hand again the second time, says the prophet Isaiah, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Petros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:11-12. For the work of the gathering set forth in these scriptures show that before the resurrection of the righteous, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and before the premillennial destruction of the nations, Yahshua is to make up his kingdom at first of the living saints only, as seen from the prophecy of the Daniel 2. For the stone being cut out of the mountain, Daniel 2:45, and being symbolical of the kingdom of the Yahshua and its beginning here in the 12th parabolic hour, fulfilling the Daniel 2:44, where it says, "And the mountain from which it is cut out must necessarily represent the purified church from which the first fruits of the kingdom, the 144,000, are gathered. And as the stone grows and becomes a great mountain, Daniel 2:35, after it is cut out, it obviously at first represents the kingdom in its infancy, the first fruits only. For the fact also that the stone grows and fills the whole earth is another evidence and the proof that after this long looked for kingdom is set up, a great multitude is to join it. Were this not so, then the stone could not become a great mountain. It's been, furthermore, at first but a very small part of the mountain, shows that the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44, which is the kingdom of David, has a very small beginning here in the 12th parabolic hour, with Yahshua having come and sitting upon the throne of this kingdom of the David, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8. Just as Yahshua said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of the mercy seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs." Matthew 13:31-32. For the mountain, the kingdom of the, says Yahweh, the Father, truly then is begun with the first fruits of the living. So actually this should read, for the mountain, representing the kingdom of the Yahshua, the Son, that the Father has given him, because his Son is here sitting upon the throne of David in this kingdom, truly then is begun with the first fruits of the living, the 144,000, and followed by the second fruits of the living, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, and is completed with the first and second fruits of the dead, the 120. These who receive the Spirit on the day of the Pentecost, thus those who arose with the Yahshua, Matthew 27:52-53, thus the great multitude who accepted him after the Pentecost, Acts 5:14, plus all the who await unto everlasting life and the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2, plus the remaining deed of all ages who rise on the great resurrection day, Revelation 20:6. Also those of Ezekiel 37:1-14. Going back unto the Daniel's prophecy, there we find the days in which the kingdom is set up. That's our next subtitle. And we went about 7 minutes there. He says, in the days of these kings, not after. That's no 10 kings there in Daniel 2:44-45. But in the days of the kings who are symbolized by the feet and toes of the great image, shall the Yahweh of the heavens, says Daniel, calling attention unto the kingdom at its beginning, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it, the kingdom, shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. Thus we see that while the nations of our age, symbolized by the feet and toes of the great image of Daniel 2:41-2, are yet in the existence, the Yahshua set up the kingdom with which he will overthrow them. Then it shall be said, for the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Yahshua and of his, Yahweh the Father and of his Son Yahshua, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. For the pronouncing of the doom of the ancient Israel, the prophet Hosea inscribes the solemn writ, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim, Hosea 3:4. At the same time, however, a promise was made that after the many days, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua, the Yahweh their Father, and no, Yahshua, their Savior and Redeemer, the Son of Yahweh, and David, their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3:5. As the ancient David is in his grave, the king here promised must be an antithetical David, just as the Elijah of Malachi 4:5 must be an antithetical Elijah. Well, actually, both of them are one and the same. Elijah David, this antithetical David in the spirit of the Elijah, Malachi 4:5. Otherwise, in order to fulfill the prophecy, ancient David must necessarily rise from the grave, and ancient Elijah descend from the heavens. For the Daniel Declaration, page 42, that with this antithetical kingdom, Yahshua will break the nations, and Jeremiah's declaration in the ensuing paragraph, that it is this battle act clearly show the kingdom, the kingdom's retributory work. That's our next subtitle, the kingdom's retributory work. And this is the kingdom of David, this everlasting, it's that kingdom that's spoken of in Daniel 2, 44 and 45. This everlasting kingdom that's set up in these last days. It's to become the battle axe, for it says, thou art my battle axe, and weapons of the war, says the Yahshua and the Israel of today, those who are to compose the infant kingdom of the David, for with thee will I, and Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of it, so he's going, this is Yahshua talking, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of the oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, Jeremiah 51:20-23. For this scripture cannot be applied unto the Israel of the Jeremiah's day, for she was then losing out rather than conquering. And from that day unto this, she has had no kingdom of her own. For it obviously, therefore, the Israel of these last days, that would the kingdom, through whose instrumentality Yahweh will bring this world to an end. For this soon coming kingdom, being not like an earthly kingdom, but like a heavenly one, it confines, shall be a place of a perfect peace and absolute safety. For the characterizing both the king and the kingdom to be established after the many days, the prophet Isaiah declares, with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountains. Now that's this mountain of David here. That's a little stone hewn out of the mountain that has grown to the mountain and filled the whole earth. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua, because this mountain has grown and fills the whole earth now, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:49. So at the time that this takes place, we're going to have a place like a kingdom of peace like there is in heaven. for this prophesied era of the absolute righteousness, peace, and knowledge of the Yahweh and the kingdom, with the reign of the rod, David. It says under the reign of the rod, but I say under or with the reign of the rod, David, and of the branch, Yahshua, must begin before the close of the probation. For the scriptures show that the kingdom is set up before rather than at the beginning of the millennium. For in that day and the day that the kingdom is set up and peace reigns, a root of the Jesse, the rod and the branch, which is David the rod and Yahshua the branch, shall stand for an instant of the people of the kingdom, that is, says Isaiah, and on this shall the Gentiles seek, Isaiah 11:10. And as after the close of probation, the doors of the kingdom will be shut to all, the ensign must therefore be set up before the probation closes, for the only time that the Gentiles will have a chance to be converted unto the Yahshua and unto his kingdom, a conclusion common unto the following scriptures. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee. When I return the captivity of my people, Hosea 6:11. So shall it come to pass that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow under it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the house of the Yahweh, the father of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the house of David, the kingdom of David, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahshua from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2:2-3. Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Yahshua, to the name of Yahweh thy father, and unto his son, the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the force of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. For the glory of the Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, for the beautifying of the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through of thee, I will make thee an eternal ecstasy, a joy of the many generations, Isaiah 60:9-15. In the land where the kingdom stands, their sin exists not. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.